On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guards replied. "You mean he has deceived you also?" the Pharisees retorted. "Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him?" "No. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee."
So, we have a mystery to solve. Who broke the altar? That's the first mystery. There we go. Now, I wonder. Lots of people have been saying things about this man, Jesus. Now, I'm going to need your help. We are going to find out who is Jesus. Now, children, boys and girls, if you want to come and sit down the front here, we're going to need your help, and you're going to be able to see what's happening a bit more easily. It's a bit of a splash zone, though, but don't worry about that. That's it. Come and join us. Up you come. Come closer. We can move this. Right, so what do we do to solve a mystery? Well, we find our clues and we also ask witnesses. So I'm going to call our first witness. Where's our first witness? Here he is. Up he comes. Now, who do you say Jesus is?
I'm pretty sure he's a prophet. They were talking about him for a long time, and he's going to tell us about God, so he's got to be a prophet.
Well, here's our first clue. Let's stick this up. Some people say that he's a prophet. A prophet tells people about God, tells people the word of God. But I think we have another witness.
He's not the prophet. He's the Messiah. He's come to save us. He's the one that God promised us.
The one God promised. So that gives us another clue. So some say he's the prophet. Some say he's the Messiah, the one God sent to save us. Do we have another witness? Quickly, the witness comes to the front.
Hang on, how can he be the Messiah? He's from Galilee up north. The Bible says the Messiah will come from Bethlehem, one of David's descendants.
Yeah, Galilee is up north. Yeah, the Messiah. The Messiah came from Bethlehem. Is Jesus the prophet, the one who tells us about God? Or is he the Messiah? Oh, I don't know. Maybe he's neither. After all, he is from Galilee, and nothing good comes out of Galilee. Well, I think we'll have to go away and think about these things and come back to them later. I think we're going to sing now. So we're going to sing a song, and then we'll come back and we'll think more about these things and see if we can solve this mystery. So let's stand together and the band are going to lead us in our next song. Kids, you can stay here because we're going to need you afterwards. Now, I've been thinking, because it doesn't make sense. I think one of my facts must be wrong, because it says the Messiah was from Bethlehem, but they say Jesus was from Galilee. Guys, do any of you know where Jesus was born? Yeah, you had your hand up. Bethlehem. Well, the Messiah came from Bethlehem. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now we're getting somewhere. Now, let's bring out our next witness and see if they can help. This is the temple guard. Now, temple guard, you were sent to arrest Jesus. Who do you say he is?
Well, I'm not sure. All I can say is that when we met him, we realized that no one ever spoke the way he does. It's like when he teaches, you have to listen. You just can't.
You can't. He's an amazing teacher. Well, that gives us another clue. The temple guard says Jesus is an amazing teacher. Wait, what?
No. You've all been deceived. You've got it all wrong.
Wait. Who are you?
See, I'm Harry, see? Harry C. P. Harry C. C. Phil Harry C.
Your name's Harry C. Mm-hmm. P. Harry C. Mm-hmm. Your name's Pharisee.
Yes, I'm a Pharisee. I'm a teacher of the law. Yeah.
But I'd ask Nicodemus to come and speak to us. He's a Pharisee.
Yeah, but he's wrong. He's wrong too. You're all wrong. See, none of us teachers of the law, we all Pharisees believe in this Jesus. And we've studied the law, so we know it better than anyone. And if we say he's a fake, then you know he is a fake. So he's not the Messiah. He's not the prophet. None of us believe in him.
Hang on. I do. I'm Nicodemus. Hello. I'm a Pharisee. And I think Jesus is telling the truth. And you, Harry, you know the law, but you don't keep it. You don't even listen to it.
Nicodemus, are you from Galilee? Because that's why you must be wrong.
Well, you lot, you say there's no prophets come from Galilee, but hey, only Jonah, only Nahum, probably Elijah too. Sure, no prophets come from Galilee.
Well, actually, sorry, we found out that Jesus was from Bethlehem, not Galilee, you know, away in a manger and all that.
Well, you're wrong. You're just all wrong.
Well, that's convincing evidence, isn't it? Well, thank you, Nicodemus. I think we need to draw. We've got lots of people saying lots of things. We've had lots of witnesses. I think we need to draw all of this together. I think we're going to sing another song, and then we'll find out what all this means. And our next song talks about Jesus, about who he is, and it says he's a mighty, mighty saviour. Do have a seat. It's Father's Day. Brilliant. Well done. And actually, it's a day not just for dads, but also for uncles, for bigger brothers, for godfathers, for granddads, adoptive dads, foster dads. Actually, dads in our spiritual dads in church, actually anyone in our lives who helps us and loves us. And so I grew up without a dad. My parents divorced when I was little, but actually there's so many men in my life, and especially in church, that actually have been like dads to me, and that's the amazing thing about God's family. And so sometimes this can be a hard day for some of us, maybe without dads. But actually, this is what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6 says this about God our Father. It says, he chose us in him. So God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which has been freely given to us in the one he loves. So it says, even before the world was created, actually, God chose us to be his children. And it says, God is our Father if we trust in him. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. So first of all, we're going to pray and say thank you to God that he is our Father when we trust in Jesus. So let's pray. Father, today we recognize you as our great and perfect Father who chose us for adoption into your family. Thank you. It's so amazing that we can be called your children. We thank you for paying such a great price for us to know your perfect and enduring love for us. We are sorry for the times that we forget the truth of this and we don't live as your cherished children. Amen. Well, we need to finish off our investigation, so let me put my investigation hat back on. Now I can do this job properly. Well, what are we to make of all of this? How can we know who Jesus is? Our evidence is clear. Prophet, Messiah from Bethlehem, amazing teacher, but some say he's also a fake. Well, I don't know what we're to make of all of this.
But Melissa, look, you're missing the most important witness.
But who? There was no one else. Well, I've called all of the witnesses.
But there was. There was Jesus himself.
Well, yes, he is very important, but I can't find him anywhere. And I have to say, this is all a little confusing, the things that he said. He talked about being thirsty and rivers and flowing water. I mean, what does that all mean?
Well, listen, you might not be able to find Jesus himself, but he has left some evidence behind, you see, in this evidence bag. And the first piece of evidence he gives us is this, you see, and it helps us to understand all the rest. Now, this is very, very important documentary evidence. So what you do with evidence, once you've taken it out of the evidence bag, is you test it for fingerprints, you see. You do that, you put the fingerprint pad on, and then you brush it around like that a little bit, yeah, like that. And yes, God's fingerprints are all over it.
Sorry, I think I might have just destroyed all of the evidence there. But, well, this is the Bible. This is God's word. And, well, let's have a look at what's in here.
Lots of arrows.
Actually, all of these arrows in the Bible, actually, they're all pointing to one thing. Have in here all of the stories right from the beginning to the end. Everything points us to Jesus. Everything's pointing to him.
But we have another clue as well. There's another piece of evidence that we missed so far as well. And it's something that the Bible passage tells us about. So we need to read, don't we, from John. So if adults have got their service sheet in front of them or their Bibles, then they can read this as well. So in John chapter 7 and verse 37, it says this. It says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said something in a loud voice.
Oh, I love festivals. I really do. You know, tents, wellies, all of that. Who's playing at this festival? I hope it's Spice Girls, they would be great. I heard they were playing last night.
It wasn't quite that kind of festival. It wasn't a pop festival or a rock festival. It was called the Festival of the Tabernacles. The tabernacle is another word for tent. And it reminds people that when they were God's people, that when they were moving through the desert for 40 years from Egypt through to the promised land where God had promised that they could go and live in peace, they lived in tents or shelters. They had to move around so much. They couldn't build any permanent homes.
So what did they do at this festival if they didn't listen to music?
Well, it was music and dancing. There's lots of music and dancing. Everyone had a great time at the Festival of Tabernacles, but they also lived in these shelters for 7 whole days. So it's like camping for 7 days. It was fantastic. The shelters were made out of branches and leaves and all that sort of thing. And they helped them to remember back to when God's people had to live in little shelters during those 40 years in the desert.
Okay. But what does all of this have to do with Jesus? Where's the evidence?
Well, you see, listen, it's like this. But first I do need some volunteers because we're going to look at what the Festival of Tabernacles was like. So there was lots of trumpet playing in the Festival of Tabernacles. So can I have some trumpet player volunteers? Yes. Okie dokie, here we go. Can we pass some of those around? Sorry, we're getting run out of trumpets, I'm afraid, but you can make trumpet noises if you haven't got a trumpet. And because it's like a festival, it's like a party, then we might need some adult help as well. So we have a few party poppers there. We need a bit of noise, you see. Ready? So, nope. Because these are specially one for, thank you very much, that's very kind. These ones are specially for adults. I'm not very good at throwing, you'll notice this, I can't reach the back rows. But I'll keep trying. So yes, here we go. Get ready your party poppers. Right, okay. That's enough party poppers. So now we need, wait a minute, trumpeter, sit back down again. Right, okay. So that's it, sit down and leave a space in the middle so that somebody can come through. Because Ruth, I need your help. Yeah, you. No, stay there. You, right. Okay, because what happened at the Festival of Tabernacles is that for 7 days, they did the similar sort of thing. And what they had music and dancing, but they also had this sort of thing that they did. Quiet, trumpeters, wait until we have Ruth coming down the middle, okay? Right, and what they did is they went to the Pool of Siloam, which is like a little swimming pool almost, but they had a Pool of Siloam somewhere in Jerusalem. And they went there and they picked up the golden pitcher, the golden jug, which your dad has. That's it. That's the one. Careful. They held it above their heads. That's it. Well done. And then they processed through Jerusalem down to the temple where we are now and the altar of the temple. So can we have trumpets and can we have party poppers? Ruth, walk them all slowly. Hey, trumpets. Thank you very much. And they brought the golden jug from the Pool of Siloam to the high priest at the altar. Thank you, trumpeters. That's enough. Yes, you can go to them. Thank you very much. So that's very good. So it's fine. Right. And then when they got to the... the high priest has left his turban behind, so I just put that on. That's nice. Right. So we can try this and see how it works. So they came in a procession through the city, and everybody was blowing the trumpets. Not now. And they came up to the temple courts, and it was a very solemn and quiet moment. And what the high priest did with his turban on is he picked up the golden jug from the Pool of Siloam, and he said some words from Isaiah 55, probably. He said, "Come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters." And then he poured the water onto the altar. And I hope not too many children are sitting too close to this altar. Are any children sitting too close to this altar? Because I can't see them. And he poured the water into the altar. And the water flowed out from the front of the altar all over the floor in front of the children. And the children are going to be very good and not walk in it. And this reminded them of the time when they were walking through the desert and they were so thirsty, they so desperately needed water, that Moses went to God and said, "Ask God for water." And God told Moses to hit the rock with his stick, and water flowed out of this rock and helped the people who were really thirsty.
Oh, so they did this water thing because it reminded them of the water coming out of the rock. Is that right?
Yep. So what is there in the desert? What is there? What is there? What do you find in deserts? Go on. Pyramids. Yes, fantastic. What about cactuses? Yes.
Sand.
Camels. All sorts of things in the desert. What isn't there a lot of?
So there's lots of those kinds of things. Lots of sand. What isn't there a lot of, Annabelle? There's not a lot of water.
Water. That's right. But when Moses struck the rock, then the water did come out of the rock, and it really helped them. So the festival was remembering that time. And Jesus stands in front of the altar, just as they finished this pouring out of the water ceremony, and he stands on the altar, and he says to them, we need to read this from the Bible again, it's from John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. And Jesus cries out in a loud voice. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Do you see? It's an invitation. It's the same as what God said to the people in Isaiah 55, which the priests have just read, and Jesus applies it to himself. He says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. So Jesus says, if we are thirsty, then we come to him for a drink. It's exactly as God saying, come to me, because he is God. There is no difference between Jesus and God.
Well, when I'm thirsty, I just get my water bottle and have a drink.
Well, you see, Jesus was talking about a different kind of thirsty. It's not just about water. Now, imagine you've been in the desert, and you've been haven't had a drink for a whole 3 days, and it's very, very hot, and you've been walking for miles. How do you feel? Yeah, you got. Yeah, you might be worried about dying. That's absolutely right. Well done. So you haven't had water for 3 days. It's hot. You're thirsty. You think you might die. And as you get, and then suddenly you look in front and you think you see a river, but it can't be because you're in the middle of a desert. But as you get closer to it, you think your mind's just playing tricks on you. But soon enough, there really is a river in the desert and it's flowing with water. So what are you going to do? Have a drink. What else? What would you do if you're really, really thirsty and really, really hot? Yeah.
Go and swim in it.
Exactly. So you would. You'd drink it and you'd go swimming in it. And hopefully in that order. And you'd be cool and refreshing and it would be just wonderful, wouldn't it? It'd be so silly if you turned away from that water and walked away, wouldn't it? But this is what Jesus says to us. He says, I am the living water. If you're thirsty, come to me. He's the water that we need to live.
But Jesus also says that the water will flow from within us. So he says exactly in verse 38, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Well, I don't think you really want to drink the water that flows out from me.
No, you're right. I really don't want to drink that water. You see, it's a little bit like this. So Isaiah in chapter 44 also said this. He says, I will pour out water on the thirsty land. I will pour out my spirit on my offspring and my blessing on your children's children. So what Jesus was talking about, he was both talking about the water that came out of the rock and how Moses made that happen. But he was also talking about how God would pour out his spirit on all his people as well, and the spirit would be a blessing for their children, for them and their children. So when Jesus fills us with the Holy Spirit, it's a little bit like this. This is why Jesus said that the Spirit flows out from within us. So if you fill our water, if we can have less trumpets, that'd be great. So if you fill our water, you see, if Jesus fills us with the Holy Spirit. He keeps filling us with the Holy Spirit, and eventually, it's taking longer than I thought, yes, we make another mess on the floor, because the water, the Spirit, flows out from us. It's like we are filled with the Spirit, not just for our own benefit, not just because we get thirsty, but because other people get thirsty too. So God pours out the Holy Spirit on us, so that we can be a blessing to other people by the way that we love them, by the way that we pray for them, by the way that we help them, and by the way we use all the gifts that we have to help other people to know Jesus too.
So, if we take a look at all of the evidence, and I think it will show us who Jesus is. First of all, he's the prophet. He's the one that tells us about God, tells us his word. He's the Messiah. He's from Bethlehem. He's the one who was sent to save us. He is an amazing teacher. He's like 1,000 times better than your teachers at school. And when he speaks, everyone listens. Actually, I think we've seen he's not a fake. That's not true. The Pharisees didn't know what they were talking about. He's the one that the Bible points to. All of the arrows, everything in the Bible tells us about Jesus. As we've just seen, he is the living water. Actually, he's the one, if we come to him, then we'll never be thirsty. And he's the one that gives us God's Holy Spirit. He sends God's Spirit to be with us. Actually, Jesus is God himself. That's amazing, isn't it?
That it really is, and I think that's exactly right. Jesus really is the Messiah, he really is the prophet, and he really is God himself, who the scriptures told us about, and who pours into us the Holy Spirit so that we can be a blessing to others.